aioli and pickles. You might even say it's all cattle and a hat. A 5-inch bun hat, cowboy. Introducing the new Whataburger Bacon Wrangler Double for a limited time. Whataburger.
The Roar. Better than any music you'll hear being put on hold. We promise. We are The Roar.
Hour number two of the program continues here on a Friday, live from the Chick-fil-A in Clemson. And we remind you folks, you can continue your tailgate traditions Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Chick-fil-A of Seneca. Order your tailgating trays such as nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, or delicious cookies. Herb and Carol Tyler want to make sure they're a part of your Clemson tradition. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Seneca at 864-886-9080 to prepare for your game day. You can also order online at ilovechickfil-a.com or through the Chick-fil-A app. Continuing with the program here on The Roar, rolling through our Pick'em contest, 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us. And John, the next game up on the list. A couple things about this one. I took South Florida plus the 16.5. This was one that I kind of struggled and went back and forth on. I don't know what to make of last week's game against Florida for South Florida. Was that more about USF's ability to actually compete up front with one of the best teams in the country that was ranked 13th before last week? Or was that more just about Florida being a little bit overrated and overvalued? The right answer is probably somewhere in the middle. I just think Miami's going to be able to overwhelm Alex Galesh's Bulls squad this weekend. That D-line against USF's O-line is my primary concern for USF.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing that gave me pause here. I took South Florida as well. I do think the worst thing that happened for South Florida to cover this number was them winning outright last week in Gainesville, because Mario Cristobal's team will not be able to take them lightly now.
Yeah.
I just feel like with Byron Brown, with some of the speedsters that they have, that I think a backdoor cover is alive. So let's go to week one. Let's go to that Sunday night game down in South Beach. What was the lead going into the fourth quarter that Notre Dame had? That Miami had.
I want to say Miami was up 14 and blew it within like 3 actual minutes of time.
That's correct. That's why I took South Florida. Miami can be sitting there up 35-21 or up 35-14 going into the fourth quarter. They can already start planning their nightlife and their parties. And then South Florida can get a couple quick touchdowns in here, lose this game by 14. That's kind of my thought about this, is South Florida is a very talented team. Miami is very full of themselves. Mario Cristobal, not great at managing a game in the fourth quarter. Give me the backdoor cover.
Yeah, I took South Florida with the points as well for similar reasons. Cristobal coach team, end of a game, backdoor potential. Funnily enough, I saw somebody say this the other day, and in real time I was like, okay, that's one of the most stupid things I've ever heard. What are you talking about? But then I thought more and more about it. Somebody made the suggestion that Byron Brown should be playing a little bit tentative and cautious in this game, and the rationale behind that was USF's got a chance to make the playoff regardless as the group of five, and they don't need this win to do that. And I actually think that they're right. Like, if I'm South Florida in this game, and I go down 14-0 off the rip in the first quarter, there is no reason for me to put my season on the line in week three with my quarterback that missed the last 8 weeks of last season due to a lower leg injury.
Right.
And I'm not suggesting that they shouldn't try and win the game. All I'm saying is I would be smarter about how I'm managing Byron Brown in the run game, because you're going to need him as the season goes on. And as of right now, you are the front runner to get that group of five college football playoff spot. I would be very cautious with the way he's deployed in this game, especially against some of the talent Miami has on defense and some of the way they like to come over the middle and take your head off in the run game. So I would keep your eye on that for sure, because I think South Florida is a team that's not just going to go away after this game, if that makes sense. We're going to keep bringing this team up as the season goes along, because I fail to see a team at the Group of Five level right now that has a realistic chance to establish a better resume than what South Florida has put on tape. Your thoughts?
Man,
it's weird to manage.
It is a weird thing to manage, and I think this is going to be one of the big tests of this season for this team, right, is if they can manage it. You know, I don't know. I think it's a great question.
Yeah.
One that I don't have an answer for.
They've got SC State next week, being South Florida. Then they've got Charlotte, North Texas, FAU, Memphis, UTSA, Navy, UAB, and Rice. it's all out there to play for South Florida, even if you lose to Miami.
I'll cover the number, you're in the playoff.
Yeah, you cover the number, you run the table, you're likely in the playoff at this juncture. You just need to keep Byron Brown upright because that's really where their season went off the rails last year. So we'll take the Bulls, we'll take the points, and that's that. All right, moving on to the next game in our contest, Arkansas and Ole Miss. We're getting a really good number with Arkansas, this one at 9.5. I think it's down to 7 in real life. I gave kind of my logic for this yesterday. Austin Simmons has a negative touchdown interception ratio through two starts against Georgia State and Kentucky. Arkansas's got a better defense than either of those teams. Taylen Green's one of the most underrated players in the country. I'd go as far as saying I think he's a top 3 to 5 QB in the SEC. He's got the dual threat ability. The answer for me, or the question rather for me in this one, can Arkansas's players at the skill positions compete with Ole Miss's? Like wide receiver and DB, running back, that's my big key for Arkansas. If they can show up in this game, I think they have a chance to go on the road in Oxford and maybe potentially win outright.
I'm kind of starting to think Arkansas can win this game outright.
I agree. Like, Pittman's got one in him this year. I guarantee you that. Pittman's got one in him this year that he's not supposed to get, and this could be early in the year against Ole Miss.
There's even a chance that Austin Simmons doesn't play.
Right.
He has been on the injury report this week for Ole Miss. And if the backup gets the call, then I think Ole Miss is very much just going to try to run the ball, be as conservative as humanly possible. Yeah, I like Arkansas to cover the number here. I think they're very explosive. I think Bobby Petrino and Taylen Green are a very good OC quarterback combination. I don't love the playmakers that he has, but I think that he is athletic enough to kind of one-man band this thing here, if you will.
Yeah.
The only reason I think Ole Miss can win this thing is, you know, it's at home. If this was in Fayetteville, I'd be all over Arkansas to win this thing outright. I have a little bit of pause that the leading receiver for Ole Miss is the reason that Penn State wasn't good enough to win in the college football playoff.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I'm at as well with Ole Miss. Is this Ole Miss roster as good as they were last year? I think my answer to that question is no. And then you start to dive a little bit deeper and you look into things like line of scrimmage, pass blocking. I trust Ole Miss's O-line to hold up in pass pro, but are they going to be able to consistently run the football this year? That's going to be a question. And right so far, Mike Washington Jr., you know, 195 yards on the season coming over from Buffalo. I'm just not sure if he's the answer in the run game. And also, you got to think about who they've had in years past and in previous renditions of this Ole Miss team. This is just nowhere near as talented of a roster or nucleus, in my opinion. I do think they have a good defense, but I really like Arkansas in this spot, and I think they've got a really good chance to win the game outright, John. So I think we're on the same page there.
I think this is a good spot here if you're Sam Pittman and you like to drink cold beer. It's a very good spot for you.
Yeah, definitely on upset alert. All right, speaking of upset alert, we're on the same side in this one. I'm not sure if you're going to go as far as I am with this, but Texas A&M's making the trip to South Bend. They're 6.5-point dogs in the contest, and we both took the Aggies. I tend to believe they have a chance to win this one outright. I know I'm going pretty big underdogs this week, but for me it's as simple as, can Marcel Reed play like the player we think he can be and not Marcel Reed, the project of potential?
Well, see, that's the thing. What we think he can be, I think he already is. Like, I don't think there's another level to his game.
You don't think he's going to take that next step as
a
passer?
No, I think he is who he is. I don't expect much growth for him as a passer. I think if anything, he may be helped along with a little bit better personnel. But no, I don't think he'll ever be an elite thrower of the football. I'm not that high on him. I'm more high on the running back room that they have in College Station and that offensive line that they have there in College Station.
They've got really good lines of scrimmage.
They've got really good lines of scrimmage. And Notre Dame, we only have one game on them because they had a weird week two bye week last week, which makes no sense. Like, I thought the Notre Dame offensive line, and granted, maybe that is just how good Miami is, right? With limited sample sizes, we don't have a whole lot to pull from. Like, I thought the Notre Dame offensive line was a big step back.
Yeah.
They were a big disappointment for me in that game. Now, they rallied well in the fourth quarter, but I don't think that they were great in the first three. I still think Notre Dame is tentative about using Jeremiah Love a ton because you want him to be there through the totality of the season. But also know if Notre Dame drops this one and they're 0-2, after we have given them the cushy red carpet path to the playoff, all of a sudden that's very much in jeopardy if they lose this game. I think A&M's the better team.
I do too.
Like, Notre Dame lost a ton off of last year's group. I think CJ Carr still needs some more time to figure things out. And if you're not going to just turn the ball off, turn around and give the ball to Love 25 times a game and your offensive line's getting whooped up front, I'm going to take the road underdog here.
I think Notre Dame might have been the most overrated team in the country preseason based off of what they accomplished last year. But part of the issue with doing that in 2025 college football is the volatility, the roster churning.
Sure.
Everybody's coming from the portal nowadays. And for Notre Dame specifically, new quarterback, new nucleus of skill position players, mass overhaul on the lines of scrimmage on both sides of the football, and they actually are scheduling in the non-con for once, and all of a sudden, is there playoff life on the line in this one?
Yeah.
I guess this would be my only reason to back Notre Dame is, even if they were, let's say hypothetically speaking, they lose this game and went out at 10-2, I'm not sure that's enough to get them in the college football playoff with the lack of a conference championship game, and then on the back half of the schedule, they don't have a ton of great opponents or ability to notch quality wins.
Yeah, because if you drop this one, I'm just going to rattle off quickly. I'm not going to do home and aways and all that kind of stuff. Purdue, Arkansas, Boise State, NC State, Southern Cal, BC, Navy, Pitt, Syracuse, Stanford.
Hmm. There's no opportunity right, like, there to impress the committee.
Unless SC keeps going and you take them down as a ranked team on October 18th. But outside of that, like don't feel great about Arkansas coming up. You're not going to get a whole lot of street cred for beating this Boise team after what happened in week one to South Florida.
Right.
I don't think anyone's going to give you too much of a pat on the back for beating NC State, Boston College, Navy, Pitt, Syracuse, Stanford. So I think this is a must-win for the Notre Dame resume if you think they can win out after this.
Yeah.
I mean, 11-1, they're in. There's no questions asked. We're not having a debate. You put them in. They're playing in the first round. They're not getting a bye, but they're in the playoff.
They'd put Notre Dame in with 11 FCS wins and only one loss if they.
You may be onto something there. You may be onto something there, but no one wants to hear me rant and rave about Notre Dame for the next hour and a half. So we can move on. But I think this is, in terms of their resume, it's a must win because of how much of an uphill battle it will be in terms of impressing the committee with multiple losses on the schedule with this schedule, with your two biggest opponents being the first two, and you drop them.
Yeah.
It's a lot of road to fix.
That 0-2 on your resume is a stain that's really hard to get out of.
Very difficult to get out of.
That's not something you can just wash out once. You're going to have to win your remaining 10 football games, win the majority of which in convincing fashion. And then to further that point, whoever the upper echelon opponents are left on your schedule, you have to beat those teams even worse to try and boost your resume. So big game for Notre Dame. I'm going to take A&M with the points, but you know, the desperation factor definitely has to be accounted for in this one. I do think Notre Dame's going to be more desperate, more hungry for the win than Texas A&M, and that's definitely something worth acknowledging in breaking this game down. But give me the Aggies going on the road to at least cover the number and potentially Marcel Reed shocking the world and coming out with an outright victory. Also, just talk about difference in styles with – you've only have put one game on tape. It's against Miami. They were run the ball, you know – put the quarterback under center. We're gonna line up I formation. We're gonna line up single back. We're gonna
right.
line up 12 personnel. And now, you know, this is more of an RPO based offense with Colin Klein, where they want to move it a little bit quicker. They want to get Reed in spaces where he's difficult to tackle in the open field. So for Notre Dame, I'm glad they had 2 weeks to prepare because I think this is a much different stylistic animal that they're facing in Texas A&M than a team like Miami, who is still adjusting to a new quarterback that's more of a traditional pocket passer. Now you have to play one of the most arguably mobile quarterbacks in the country in Marcel Reed. Do you think that's going to have an impact on this game before we take a quick break?
I could have some. I just, like I said, I'm not a big Marcel Reed guy. I think if A&M does this, it's about the stable of running backs that they have. That's the best running back room in the country.
It is.
Is what they have in College Station.
Yeah.
And if they can stay ahead of the chains and you're not worrying about third and longs, because if that is the case, then I don't feel good about Texas A&M in this spot. It's all about those running backs for me against A&M and really the lack of front for Notre Dame.
Yeah, for certain. All right, we're going to take a quick break on the program. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Continuing with our Pick'em contest live from Chick-fil-A in Clemson here on a Friday right after this.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we've represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
55 Beatty Place, Suite 900, Greenville, South Carolina, 29601. Scott Trout, licensed in Missouri, Illinois, and Georgia only. CordellCordell.com.
60 years is a long time, especially when you're talking about how long a company has been in business. But that's exactly how long Joe Roberson and Son have been servicing and installing roofs right here in the upstate. 60 years. That means that many of the roofs you see every day, your neighbors, the roof at your favorite restaurant, or even the roofs you're driving past right now are likely a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Now you might be wondering why so many people here in the upstate have chosen Joe Roberson and Son for their roofing needs for six decades. And the answer is simple. They were founded on the principles of providing quality workmanship, fair pricing, and complete customer satisfaction. When you work with them, you won't pay a single dime until the job's been completed to your satisfaction. So if you have any roofing needs, do what so many people in the upstate have done for the past 60 years. Make it a Joe Roberson and Son roof. Call 246-0886. That's 246-0886. Or visit robersonroofing.net.
Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. If you want to potty like a rock star, you can with us. At Royal Flush Toilet Rentals, we offer construction porta potty rentals, septic tank pumping, and luxury toilet trailers. Call 864-238-8800. We have two stall, three stall, and four stall trailers for your corporate events, wedding parties, and special occasions. Call 864-238-8800. Royal Flush Toilet Rentals.
Hey, Tiger fans. I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
Discover Reed's Jewelers, America's largest family-owned jeweler, and their state-of-the-art expanded store in Haywood Mall. The same location, with nearly twice the showroom space as before. Dedicated to bringing you amazing savings on diamonds, watches, and more. All with the same superior customer service they've always provided. You'll be amazed at the 21st century appeal of the new Reed's Jewelers expanded store. Reed's Jewelers, next to Belk on the top floor in Haywood Mall. Online at Reeds.com.
You can feel it in the air. Football is back, and the best place to make picks and win money all season long is Underdog. It is one of my favorite ways to enjoy a night of sports. Just pick whether your favorite players are going higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, rushing yards, interceptions, things like that. If you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your money, and you only need $1. To play. That's it. As little as a dollar. It's that simple. I love playing Underdog with baseball. I love it with basketball. Football, man, football is the best. Download the app today and sign up with promo code OOB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 plus and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider. From the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of a roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
If you're 55 or older and into that whole saving money thing, T-Mobile has an exclusive phone and internet bundle just for you. Right now, get two unlimited phone lines plus 5G home internet for just $30 each per month with autopay, plus taxes and fees. And with 5G home internet, setup is easy with just one cord and no technician needed, which is great if you're also into that whole keeping it simple thing. Switch now and experience the best mobile network in the U.S. Visit your local store to start saving. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data Q4 2024 to Q1 2025. Ookla trademarks used under license. Unlimited on our network. Customers on voice plan may notice speeds lower than other customers and further reduction if using more than 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video streams and SD on this plan. Home internet pricing after $20 in monthly bill credit plus $5 per line without auto pay. Debit or bank account required. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Roar, the only media outlet where you won't need a two-step authentication to access.
It's going to be exciting.
The Roar, where every day's game day.
We welcome you back in. Second hour of the program continues here on a Friday, live from Chick-fil-A on The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in with us. We're continuing to preview games for the upcoming weekend in the world of college football and the NFL, and we're in the midst of our Pick'em contest rolling down the line, letting you know where all your favorite hosts and producers are, myself and John included. And this next game is one that everybody is on one side, except Wild Will Clanton, who's on another side. 11-1 LSU minus the 6.5 against Florida. Your boy Clanton is standing alone with the Gators.
Gator Will.
And I have to say, I considered it. I really did consider it. I would say my brain talked me out of it ultimately because LSU is a significantly better and more talented football team than Florida is. But there's just something about everybody being so confident in it that's giving me pause, John.
I think the main reason I went with LSU, and it's not even a great football reason, is I don't want to have to try to explain to myself internally what everything means if Florida wins this game.
Yeah, because if Florida wins...
Because then all of a sudden, and I don't know what... Like, what does week one mean? Right? Like, I have a lot of questions about week one. Was that a good game that we saw? Were those two mediocre teams or were those two elite teams?
Yeah.
If Florida wins this game, I'm going to have a lot of questions.
Well, if Florida
wins this game, it's going to break my brain.
If Florida wins this game and South Florida doesn't wake up with a little more, I don't care what happens against Miami. If Florida beats LSU in Baton Rouge this weekend, South Florida should go up in the rankings.
They have absolutely. Even if they lose by 45 to Miami, they should go up in the rankings.
They should already be a lot higher if we're going off of merit. But
sure. I'm just. But outside of like the bounce back. That you can't play that bad again.
Yeah.
The DJ Lagway can't be that just MIA again. What are the reasons you would pick Florida here? outside of vibes.
Yeah.
Like, do you have a football reason?
No.
Because true freshman five-star wide receiver for the Gators is still yet to see the field. He's not going to play again this Saturday.
My only football reason...
Dallas Wilson, excuse
that,
me.
...that I've been able to, like, kind of parse through, because I've thought a lot about this game throughout the course of the week... The only football reason that I can give Florida the advantage, I think there is a path for Florida when it comes to stopping LSU on the ground and winning time of possession. If they can get ball going in the run game and they can stop Durham on the inverse in the run game and potentially win time of possession, then Florida has a chance to win this football game. That's the only path in football reason I've been able to compile in all my research this week, looking through all the numbers, all the tape. LSU's the more talented football team at every position on the field, in my opinion.
Sure.
Their defense has looked elite thus far, only giving up 17 total points in two games to Clemson and La Tech. And with Florida coming off a 16-point performance against South Florida at home, now they're going prime time, Tiger Stadium, Baton Rouge. The lights are going to be bright. The crowd is going to be rowdy. I struggled to see Florida's path to moving the ball and scoring enough points to win. I can tentatively buy into the game script that they could get an early turnover and hoard the ball and just own time of possession and run it. But even then, they weren't able to run it at a super high level against South Florida. Give me LSU minus the 6.5, and I think this ends up like 27-17 Tiger or something like that.
I think it may even be a little more offensive explosion for the Bayou Bengals there. I'm thinking something more along like 35-17, and we're having real conversations about Billy Napier next week.
Yeah, Billy Napier's in trouble. We all know that at this point in the season, and I think it's a matter of when, not if, as far as when his dismissal is going to come as the Florida head coach. Provided that they don't just go on some absolute tear against this gauntlet of a
schedule. Sure, yeah. Like, well, if they go on a tear, they'll probably extend him and just drive all Florida fans into a straitjacket.
Yeah, of course. Next game on our contest is another SEC matchup. 7-5 Vandy is how the people have dispersed in this one. I'm on Vanderbilt. You're on Vanderbilt. I like Vandy with the points in this one, and I'm going to give my exact same read as I did when Herb asked us in the first segment. I think this game is whoever has the ball last wins. I think you're going to get the 2024 Missouri game in Columbia reincarnated in this game in Vandy, and it's just Diego Pavia instead of Brady Cook, and you're going to be back and forth the whole time, wire to wire. I think these are just two good football teams.
I think that's what will happen in the second half. I think it's going to be a very low-scoring first half. I think the difference for me here is whoever can have a more balanced offensive attack, whoever is not one-dimensional in this game,
yeah,
I think will come out and win. I'm a little surprised that we're going into week three, and Diego Pavia has been the better passer of the football.
He's been the better player.
He's been a better quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, outside of that fourth quarter against Virginia Tech where Sellers tucks it and runs, and you give credit where it's due, it's impressive stuff that he does, but Diego Pavia has outplayed Lenore Sellers through 2 weeks of the season. He's definitely more comfortable, more confident in the offense that he's running than Lenore Sellers is right now. And he's definitely got a much better running mate in the backfield than what Sellers has right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Attaway is your leading rusher with 80 yards on 21 carries in two games.
Yep.
That is not good enough. South Carolina has to find a way to run the football.
Yeah, they do.
And I don't think they can outside of Sellers. I'm waiting on Faison to show up and really start taking off for this offense. To me, I took Vanderbilt to cover the points here. I think South Carolina is still struggling a little bit of an identity crisis. I'm trying not to use Virginia Tech as the reason that I went with Vanderbilt.
Yeah, same here.
Trying to make sure that that's not, oh, well, we have the one common opponent. Vanderbilt blows them out. South Carolina ekes out a win. I mean, South Carolina did what they had to do to win that football game. You give credit where it's due there. The one reason I have pause here is, can Diego Pavia handle the lights, the techno music, the fire extinguishers, the smoke machines, like all the stuff that goes along with playing at South Carolina? If he can handle all of that, I feel very good about this pick. But Diego Pavia has got to be settled into the moment, realize that it's just about the game, not about talking smack to the student in the fourth row, not getting caught up in the emotions of the game.
Yeah.
That's where I do think South Carolina has the advantage, is I think they can almost bait Vanderbilt through the environment and the way they like to play the game into making some boneheaded decisions.
I've got a couple concerns right now with South Carolina. The number one reason that I think I'm hesitant to back this team at all, they've had three games where Shula has been the play caller. They've had 17 points of offense in all three of those games. I think Sellers still has a long way to go as a passer. Again, only 337 passing yards through two contests thus far. I have questions about the wide receiver core. When your wide receiver one is a track star and not a football player, that's going to breed questions. Like, I think the room is better out wide this year than it was last year for South Carolina, but I also don't know if it's good enough to be viewed as one of the SEC's best teams or the 11th best team in the country, which is where they're currently valued. Again, line is down to 3.5 in real life. That essentially means Vegas views Vanderbilt and South Carolina as a wash, and that they're pretty even football teams on a neutral field. I think Pavia is the better quarterback. I'd go as far as saying right now, I think there's an argument to be made that Vanderbilt might just be the better team. I mean, Alexander gives Vanderbilt something in the run game as far as a staple goes and an identity goes that South Carolina doesn't currently possess. He's got 156 yards through two games. Again, I know the competition hasn't been great, but he is a staple and he's been a mainstay of this program for years. And he's one of the best running backs in this entire league. I question South Carolina's ability to keep their defense off the field in this game. I see a path for Vanderbilt to win the game that involves running the ball with Pavia and Alexander in the zone read game, utilizing the RPO to their advantage to get some numbers advantages out in space for their wide receivers. Richardson's a really nice little player for them outside playing wide receiver. And the more and more we get closer to this game, John, the more I feel more confident that Vanderbilt has a chance to not just cover that point spread of 5.5 that we got in the contest, but to win the game outright. And it's nothing against South Carolina. I think Vanderbilt's just a really good football team this year.
No, I took Vanderbilt to cover the number and on the thought of that they win the game outright.
Yeah.
I feel like if South Carolina wins, they cover.
Yeah.
Like, I don't see like a South Carolina last-second field goal in a tie game as time expires for the Gamecocks to win by 3.
No LSU South Carolina from last year.
I don't see that here as the game script because of the way these offenses like to run. I think if Vanderbilt's finding some success, like they're going to limit the amount of possessions that South Carolina can have.
Yeah.
No, I think it's going to be a great game. I think this is going to be the one that will be on the main screen for me tomorrow night. I mean, Florida-LSU will be on the secondary TV. I think this has the chance to be the game of the evening.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I think Pavia and Sellers are two of the most fun players to watch in all of college football, and it should be a good one. All right, time for everybody's favorite part of the week on the Pick'em Contest. It's the Clemson game. 6-5-4 Roar, we're going to be doing an in-depth breakdown here of Clemson and GT, what to look for on both sides of the football, who you need to worry about for the Yellow Jackets, and more. The line we are playing in our contest is 4.5. John, we're on other sides of this one. You took the Yellow Jackets, I took the Tigers. In our contest, it's 6-6 split right down the middle. The people who are wearing orange this weekend, well, we're all wearing orange, but the people who are wearing orange in the contest would be myself, Will Clanton, Mike Vaughn, Sam Jones, Ramona, and Nick Roby, with Walt, Kwok, Ben, John, Morgan, and Mickey all taking Georgia Tech. So am I the only host to take Clemson this week? I am. Okay.
Yep, that's correct.
That's interesting. That's interesting. I'm going to give you the floor here. You're on GT plus the 4.5, and we, I think, both share the opinion that there's a good chance this game is competitive. Again, Georgia's a really good team.
This game's competitive. There's a good chance Clemson goes on the road and loses. Like, just, we'll make sure we get that out there.
Yeah.
Like, there's a good chance that Clemson loses this football game tomorrow afternoon.
There is.
And we are staring down 1-2 Monday morning.
It could happen.
It definitely could happen. Like, you're going into their building. They are very confident. You have seen Brent Key all week. You know, we talked about an hour one with Herb, right? The machismo that we are seeing down there at Georgia Tech, right? The bravado they're putting on. They very much believe they're winning this football game. Not that they can win this football game, that they are going to win this football game. And right now, I have not seen a mentally tough team in Clemson. I have seen a team that has let both LSU and Troy be the aggressor. I have seen a team that can't figure out how to run the football. I don't have confidence that they can go on the road and cover a spread and a win against a team that is on the short list that could be playing in Charlotte.
Yep.
Like, there's a lot of opponents that we want to go on the road tomorrow, and you take some of these offensive woes, I don't feel all that worried about them. But against this team in this spot and the confidence that Georgia Tech has in themselves, I think I'd be crazy to sit here and pick Clemson to go down there and just ho-hum, take care of business.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be as simple as roll the ball out, right?
No, it's not. The furthest thing from it. You have to have the best version in the year 2025 of Cade Klubnik that we have seen. You have to have the most dialed-in version of Garrett Riley that we have seen this season. Your offensive line has to play better than they have played yet this year. Your wide receivers have to get their heads out of their you-know-whats and start catching the football and stop feeling sorry for themselves and the ball's not coming their way. I could not agree with Coach Sweeney more what he said on Tuesday. This team just, based on what we've seen through two games, bought way too many of the headlines in the clippings.
The rat poison.
Absolutely. I have questions about did they put the work in this offseason or did they just assume, like a team a few years ago with Clemson, that the work, it was all just going to come naturally to them. We're going to get answers to questions tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think Tiger Harley makes a great point. Georgia Tech has way more confidence than we do in this game.
They do.
In themselves, in their plan, and everything that they are doing. I think it would be, based on what we've seen, and I don't feel like I have heard enough out of Clemson this week that makes me think that they're going down there and you're going to get a 28-10, leave no doubt, best is the standard kind of performance. I'd love to see it. I want nothing more than to have that. I have never wanted a pick to go wrong more than the one that I am making right here. But I just, the more and more I've sat with this game this week, I still think Clemson wins. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be close, and we're going to have a very full text line on Monday morning.
Yeah.
I still think you win the game. But I just have a tough time picking the Clemson to go on the road right now and go beat somebody by a touchdown based on what we've seen through two games at home.
I think that's more than fair. I think that the fan base has every right to be skeptical, especially competing against a Georgia Tech team that's uber talented on both sides of the ball. Lines of scrimmage has been a premium in the transfer portal for Brent Key. Like, that's how you win football games.
Can I say one thing? They are not more talented than Clemson.
They are not.
They are not. I don't know if there's a position group where they are more talented than Clemson. But They are more confident in what they do than Clemson is. They believe in themselves more than Clemson does right now.
They have an identity.
And they're confident in their identity. They trust their identity. Clemson is still searching for theirs.
Yep. Clemson's got to play more confident football if they want to win this upcoming weekend at Georgia Tech. That's for certain. Hey, we're live at Chick-fil-A in Clemson, as we will be throughout the course of football season on Fridays. We're going to take a quick break and talk more Yellow Jackets and Tigers on the other side right here on The Roar.
Start your game day right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics as the Tigers travel down to Atlanta to take on the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. Your broadcast day will start at 6 a.m. sharp as we'll get you ready for game day with the Tiger pregame show. Then we'll turn it over to Fax and Childers and his crew for the Tiger tailgate show at 9 o'clock. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of the action. And then Donnell Clark and I, live in studio, will have the fifth quarter show for you to wrap up all of Saturday's action. Don't miss a moment of a Clemson game day right here on The Roar.
The South Carolina Education Lottery definitely allowed me to really find myself, to get an education and then use it as a springboard in really launching my career. That's what the Life Scholarship did for me.
Knowing that I can go to where I want to go to, study what I want to study, having the Life Scholarship made that possible for me.
The South Carolina Education Lottery. A better you, a better us, a better South Carolina. Visit sceducationlottery.com/betteryou.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
We are here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, working with Snyder Tree Care, it's not a hard proposition.
We want to make sure you know that we are here to serve you, to care for your need, and to do things extraordinarily well. I would put my guys up against anybody in this nation. I mean, we are that well trained. Not that we're arrogant. We just work really, really hard at training and taking good care of our clients. You can find us on the web at SnyderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Parenting is hard. It's even harder if your child tells you they're in trouble with the law. What should you do next? Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, is here to help. Nick and his legal team know the best options to help defend and protect your child and their future. Whether it's a DUI, minor in possession, public disorderly conduct, or a fake ID, Nick Lavery is here to help you and your child. For your free consultation, call 864-654-3680.
Tiger fans, it's football time with fall almost here. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Fiori, Z Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more, Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ELKMONT TradingCompany.com. Go Tigers!
Hey, it's Walt here. Wings, Weck, and wall-to-wall sports. That's Moretti's Pizzeria and Bar in Malden. Buffalo, New York flavor right here in the upstate. Crispy wings, stone oven pizza, and the famous beef on Weck. Juicy roast beef on a salty caraway bun with au juice. Big screens, cold beer, Friday fish fry, family-friendly, and just off 385. Moretti's, your new hangout where everyone's a regular.
Sometimes it's the little victories that mean the most. Those everyday celebrations that bring a smile to our faces and joy to our hearts. At Ingles, we know there's no one you'd rather share those miniature memorable moments with than family. Ingles, all the ingredients for family.
Don't wait for your HVAC to break down. Keep it running strong with a maintenance plan from Estes Heating and Air. Their expert technicians make sure your system is running efficiently year-round, helping you avoid surprise repairs and high energy bills. With priority service and peace of mind, it's comfort you can count on. Call Estes Heating and Air today or visit estesheatingair.com to schedule your maintenance check today. Estes Heating and Air, your comfort is their priority.
Is your crawl space damp or musty?
Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and creates an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Mr. Rage here, inviting you to join 1991 Miss South Carolina Junior Miss runner-up Ramona, such as Two Ways to Win and All the Ragers on Thursday, as we continue our Georgia Tech preview and breakdown on the latest, most important game of the season. Contest picks, Road Rage guarantees, so much more football on the Thursday edition of Road Rage, starting at 3.
When you bleed orange, there's only one place to be.
Cade takes a shotgun snap. Blitz coming. Cade gets away from the blitz. Rolls right side. Throws downfield. Got a man wide open. Moore inside the 10. Catches it inside the 5. Touchdown.
This is Cade Klubnik, and you are listening to 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
Final segment of hour number two here on a Friday, live from the Chick-fil-A in Clemson on the Roar. 654-ROAR is the number. A ton of texts to get to on our Adams Co. Roofing text line. Continue to get in with us as we continue to preview the Clemson and Georgia Tech matchup on the horizon this weekend in Atlanta. John, you took Georgia Tech with the 4.5. I'm taking Clemson, and there's a couple texts to get to as to why I believe this is a good bounce-back weekend for the Tigers. So Texter gets in with something that I think is just crucial and imperative for Clemson to have success in this weekend if they want to win the game. 466 says, what you need this weekend is a scripted gut punch first drive for 7 to build confidence for Cade in the offense. This is where good OCs earn their money. And I tend to agree with 466, right? Like, listen, elephant in the room is that Clemson's been bad on offense thus far this season, but the bigger concern is that they've been so bad on these scripted drives, which are supposed to be money in the bank, right? This is where you're supposed to ease your quarterback into the game. This is where you're supposed to put points on the board in the early going to give yourself momentum. You work on a game plan throughout the course of the entire week to attack certain coverages you're anticipating to see, to attack certain looks, and that's an element of the game that Clemson just simply has to be better in this weekend in Atlanta.
Oh, they've got to be better. You've got to be better coming out the gate. You've got to be better on the scripted stuff, and you've got to be the aggressor. And that's one thing that this Clemson offense hasn't been the last 2 weeks, has been the aggressor. You've been trying to read and react versus just dictate the terms of conflict, if you will. That's what I need to see. Like Texas gets in. That being said, should we take the ball first, try to set the tone? I think you do. Because I think on the road, I would like just steer right into the environment, steer right into the crowd. And if you're confident in the work that you've put in this week, and you do believe that you are a team, then go and compete and win this league, then it shouldn't be that overwhelming of and daunting of a task to take the ball first and walk down the field and go score against Georgia Tech. If you are who you've believed yourself to be for the last 9 months, then you should be able to take the opening kickoff and confidently move the football on this team.
Yeah.
Coach Sweeney is writing something about they bought the headlines, man. And if you are about what everyone's told you are all year, then you come out here and you send a message and you set the tone. And enough of this just soft, trying to feel things out, and we'll try a little bit. I don't want to see any cutesy nonsense stuff on this first drive.
Yeah, just run the football.
Turn around and hand the ball to 8. And do it again. Get positive yardage. Just get the ball quickly into the hands of your playmakers. I think that's one thing that I'm a little frustrated that Cade hasn't gotten better yet. He's not giving a quick release. Just grip it and throw.
Yeah.
Grip it and throw. And he's not doing any of that. That's one thing he's got to do tomorrow. It's just go play football. Stop thinking so much. Go play.
He's got to go play. Texter gets in and says, I would take their QB over ours all day long. Let's see how Cade gets drafted. GTQB is an absolute winner. He doesn't panic like Cade. I'm just confused how this has been brought up. Now, and I'm not just singling out this one specific texter. I am confused how the winner narrative has been brought onto a quarterback that has never won more than 7 games in a season as the starting quarterback. Like, they've won 7 games back-to-back years.
We've gone way too far.
And we want Cade, like, exiled from Clemson for winning 9 games in back-to-back years, yet Haynes King wins 7 at GT and goes 7-6 back-to-back years, and he's now a winner, and Cade is.
First off, I think you picked a poor text to read off of a guy who does nothing and has never contributed anything positive to our shows whatsoever, is out here just trying to be a negative. I mean, quite frankly, he's a turd on a bun. Right? So why do you think we call him that? That's just somebody who's trying to get, you know, a rile out of you. They don't believe it.
Yeah, there's no way.
There's nobody. I can go back and look at this texter's history and say that this is not an actually sane-thinking individual who genuinely believes the stuff that he types, right?
Yes.
Like, Haynes King, how could we deem him a winner when he's out for the season by the end of September every year?
Right. Like,
how many games in November has he played in his career?
I don't know. They had to bring both quarterbacks.
Like, just a couple of them?
Yeah.
Is Cade playing well? No. But to act like Haynes King is Vince Lombardi with a face mask out here is just a bit ridiculous.
The amount of
we've gone too far. Like, yes, I'm taking Georgia Tech to cover the points because I'm doubting Clemson. But it's not because I think this Georgia Tech team is an 11-win football team who's going to go scorched earth and make the playoff here. I think we've gone we're so down about ourselves right now as we've gone way too far in the other direction to make this Georgia Tech team something that they're not.
Yeah, I wholeheartedly agree, and thank you, because I think that messaging was needed for our fan base. Texter gets in and says, how does Georgia Tech's secondary match up against our receivers? I'm glad you asked, because this is the biggest matchup advantage for Clemson in this game. This is something that Clemson just simply has to pick on and take advantage of if they want to win the game. There's going to be chances for chunk plays, guys.
Well, it's why I haven't been kind to our receivers this week. Why you need to stop pouting and feeling sorry for yourself. There are opportunities to be had in this game. Go take them.
Yeah.
Bryant Wesco, you're better than any corner that Georgia Tech is going to throw at you.
Yes.
TJ Moore, you were leaps and bounds better than anybody that they're going to throw at you, so go prove it. Go be that guy. Tyler Brown, they can't cover you in the slot, so go prove it.
I think this is a proving
week
for the whole
secondary.
This is a proving week for the whole wide receiver room. Like, listen, Clemson is in a position this week where I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that the season is on the line. And that's a scary phrase to articulate to a fan base, but I think it's reality and I think it's the truth. And I say that because we know how little respect the ACC gets in totality, okay?
Right.
We know what this conversation is going to look like with the College Football Playoff Committee when we're approaching that Selection Sunday, whatever they want to call it, in college football. And even if Clemson were to, hypothetically speaking, lose this game and run the table after losing to Georgia Tech and go 10-2, there's number one, there's no guarantee you have a spot in the ACC championship game. It's likely that you're in a position in the last week of the season, similar to what you needed from Syracuse last year beating Miami, to get a chance to play for a playoff bid. And then on top of that, you're not going to get respect for losing to Georgia Tech on a national scale.
No.
We know Georgia Tech is a very good team that's going to pose a lot of problems.
But
nationally, they don't have that level of clout.
But I'm also not going to give this team a whole bunch of respect and pats on the back if they lose to Georgia Tech.
Yes.
I'm going to be frustrated and upset because we build you to be the number four team in the country and, you know, all this, that, and the other. Like, I'm going to be very disappointed in this team and the staff if they go down there and lose this game, because you're better than them.
I agree. You're better at every position on the field, except maybe arguably running back. I would say that's the one position.
No, they're better at running back.
Yeah, Jamal Haynes is probably better than Adam Randall, but every other position on the field, Clemson has an immense talent.
Maybe
advantage.
Right guard, because ours is injured.
Yeah, because
of
Rutledge.
Keelan Rutledge is a good player.
Yeah.
Who somehow has never figured out how I-85 works, but, you know, we'll just move on from that.
But in all seriousness, the secondary is, I don't like to use the term free eats, but this is about as close in the league play you're going to get to having chances to put big chunk plays on film and big explosive in the passing game. That's what's killed GT these last two seasons, and you have a chance to do that this weekend.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I'm reiterating, I am picking Georgia Tech to cover the number because of how poorly Clemson has played.
Yeah.
It's not because I am very different than a lot of people on the text line who believe that this Georgia Tech team, I mean, are very similar to that New England Patriots team that went 18-1. Right? Like, we've gotten so far ahead of ourselves here about what this Georgia Tech team is.
We have. I mean, I think Haynes King is being just ridiculously overrated by everyone right now. I think GT is being ridiculously overrated by everyone right now. And again, like, I get that's part of when your team loses. Like, you have the alarm bells up, and GT is good. Like, there is substance here,
sure.
And I don't want to take away from him. But again, every single position on the field except for one, Clemson is more talented. If you don't win this weekend, that's an indictment on your coaching staff. I'm sorry, it just
that's
is.
An indictment on you, the players, as well.
Yes, like
on not wanting it enough, not caring enough, and only caring about the checks clearing into your bank account.
Exactly. Like, the players need to play, you know, maximum capacity this weekend, and they need to play better, starting with your quarterback, who needs to play better. Garrett Riley needs to call a better game. Tom Allen needs to call a better game. Dabo needs to coach a better game. Like, everything needs to come together this week, because this is a thing where a lot of fans are panicking right now, and a lot of fans are struggling to get above water and think that this season's over and the team sucks and all the... Look at the schedule after this game. Look at the schedule after this game and how things clear up for Clemson to get everybody healthy in the coming weeks. You play Syracuse, you have a bye week, you're at UNC, who's a dumpster fire, and you're at Boston College. Those are your next 4 weeks after this one. If you can just get through this week and find a way to squeak out a win, you're going to be 6-1 in 4 weeks' time, and you're going to be like the number five team in the country, and people are going to be talking about you as a contender once again. But you have to win this game to elevate yourself to that status, and it all starts tomorrow in Atlanta for this Clemson football team. You have a chance to completely rewrite the script and the narrative of your season tomorrow if you show up and win one game, and I truly believe that.
Absolutely, and I don't even care about style points. Do not care about style points. Go win the football game. Like, you just read off the schedule. There are so many opportunities for style points and to impress people nationally.
Go blitz North Carolina by 50. That's where you put up your style points in 3 weeks in Chapel Hill.
Exactly.
And in Chestnut Hill in four weeks.
Exactly. And, you know, against Fran Brown next week. You got to find a way to win the game. And that's... I think Clemson's going to win the game, but I don't think it's going to be in some commanding, dominant fashion. I'm going to give you a score right now. I think Clemson wins 20-17.
Ooh, ugly one. Ugly one on the flats.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty, I don't think. I would happily be proven wrong. I would love nothing more than Clemson to go down there and win 52-10. Or, you know, the game where Will Spiers is playing quarterback because you're beating them by so much. Like, I'd like to see if Jack Smith can throw a spiral. But this is not the opportunity here. I don't think this is the type of game we're getting it.
Texter gets in and says, if we can take away the run, can King legitimately beat us with his arm? I don't think he can.
No.
I think the answer to that is no. But again, like, this is part of why Georgia Tech is difficult to game plan for and difficult to beat. First and third down and the down and the distance situations on first and third down, right? Haynes King... I would take Haynes King over arguably every quarterback in America on third and three or shorter, yet I could not name five quarterbacks that I would take Haynes King like over necessarily if it's third and eight or longer, if that makes sense. Like, it is such a drastic difference between those 5 yards on that one specific down for King that Clemson has to make Georgia Tech live in second and medium, third and medium, second and long, third and long. If they do that and force King to be a passer and give some of your pass rushers a chance to pin their ears back and go after the quarterback, it's going to be a very successful day for Clemson. But if you allow them to win on early downs, especially up front on the lines of scrimmage, and you're getting yourself in second and two, third and three consistently against Haynes King, that's where Georgia Tech can kill you. So Clemson's defense is going to have to set the tone on early downs. You want to pin your ears back on third and long and force King to be a pocket passer because he's not good enough to beat you with his arm, but he is good enough to beat you with his legs.
He is. He is. We got a couple of interesting texts coming in. Johnny Carrots gets in 31-10. That's a Johnny Carrots guarantee.
Have we ever had one of those?
We have not had one of those before. He has never given us a guarantee. So I'll be interested to see will his guarantees really mean something moving forward, Johnny. No pressure on you here this weekend. That's just too much. I would love to see it. I would love to see it, and I'll give him credit where credit is due. That's just a little too rich for my liking right now based on what we have seen through 2 weeks. I mean, you scored... 26 last week?
Yeah.
I have a tough time thinking you're going on the road and scoring 31.
I get it.
Like I said, I'd love to be proven wrong. I still have some doubts that all of a sudden this offense is just going to click.
I had somebody text me on the personal text line yesterday and say, is it fair to say this is a legacy game for Cade Klubnik? I wouldn't go that far.
I wouldn't either.
But I think it's a must-win game for this football team. I don't think it's as much about Cade as it is about the team and the program.
I agree with you wholeheartedly there. I wholly agree with you there. This is about the team and the program, not about the player.
And
if Cade makes it about him, we're going to lose this football game.
You don't even need, you need B minus Cade to beat Georgia Tech. If Cade plays B to B minus football, tomorrow you win.
I need Cade to make the accurate reads, do what the play has asked him to do, and not make the silly turnover.
When Cade gets himself in trouble, there are three things that go awry. He starts bailing from the pocket too early, he doesn't go through his progression, and then he starts taking negative plays and or sacks. If if you get rolling down that, you know, avalanche again tomorrow of Cade Klubnik making those mistakes, then that's how you lose the game, and that's the path to losing the football game, which, again, makes it even more important to have success early in the game on first down, early in the game on your first couple scripted drives to get him a little bit more comfortable. And I think Clemson is going to have a really good chance to potentially win the football game tomorrow. 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in with us. We're going to have the final hour of the show coming up shortly after a quick break. And, John, I want to branch this out. I want to talk a little more Clemson GT on the other side, but I also wanted to discuss some NFL in the final hour of the program, go around the horn a little bit and talk a little bit about the games to watch across college football as well. I'm going to challenge the audience to do something during the break real quick. I want your score prediction for Clemson, Georgia Tech. Call your shot at 654 Roar during the break, and we'll read off some score predictions on the other side. Continuing into the final hour of the program with Faxon and John, live from Chick-fil-A, right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.